Guys, I'm excited this morning. Hey, Anthony, I agree, man. You said it, and I was thinking about where we were singing it. Oh, where'd you go, Anthony? Oh, there you are. Nothing compares to the promises that I have in Jesus. There is nothing that compares, nothing that this world has to offer, nothing that our government has to offer, nothing that Wall Street has to offer. Nothing compares to these eternal promises that I have in Jesus Christ, man. It's so awesome. And I'm excited this morning. We are in a sermon series right now called Extreme Makeover. It's a spiritual edition of Extreme Makeover. You might have seen it on TV, but this is the spiritual edition that you see in church. All right? And the whole idea of this sermon series is that we are allowing God access to do an internal renovation within us, to allow Him to tear down the old way of the way we used to be and rebuild it and remodel it with His character. Because we understand and we know that the Bible says that we are His representatives, that we are His ambassadors. And so we want to be the most effective ambassadors, the most effective representatives that we can possibly be. And so in order to do that, we must take on His character, take away our old character and replace it with His godly character. So that's what we've been doing. And so I entitled this morning's message, I'm just going right into it this morning. I entitled this morning's message, Bringing Ourselves Down to Jesus' Level. Bringing ourselves down to Jesus' level. Now when you think about that right at first, it sounds a little backwards, doesn't it? Seems a little bit backwards. Because Jesus is the King of all kings. He's the Lord above all lords. But what we're going to see this morning is that the reason Jesus was exalted to this highest position was because of His unmatchable humility. The reason that Jesus was exalted to King of Kings and to Lord of Lords was because of His unmatchable humility before God and before man. And the Word of God tells us that because of His humility, He was given the highest seat. God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name above all names, that everyone who calls upon His name shall be, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because of Jesus' unmatchable humility. And so as followers of Christ, and in this series we're talking about being demonstrators of His character, humility must be found at the root of everything that we do. And this is going to be a difficult message this morning. It was difficult for me when I was preparing it. And I'm guaranteeing that it's going to be difficult for you because that's what I prayed for. I pray, Lord God, take Your people and stretch them. Pull them up to a new place in You so that they can be more effective representatives for You. Jesus made Himself nothing so that God could be everything. Jesus made Himself nothing so that God could be everything. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And it's one of my favorite passages because every time I read it, I am challenged beyond what I can even bear, in a sense. It is such a challenge for me. Because what we're going to read, you're going to see with it. And I have it up on the slide too. Here we go. Here it is. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1, and we're going to read through verses 8. Paul and Timothy are writing to the church in Philippi, and they say this. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from His love, if you have any fellowship with the Spirit, if you've had any tenderness and compassion, he says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Verse 4. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Notice that it doesn't say needs there, it says interests. Verse 5. Your attitude should be that of the same of Jesus Christ. Verse 6. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in a human in appearance as a man. He humbled Himself, which means He humbled Himself of the mind, That's what that Greek word means. He humbled himself and became obedient to death. Excuse me. Even death on a cross. Wow. Wow. Paul's saying here, if you have any encouragement, if you've experienced the love, grace, power, mercy of God, then be like-minded. Because of his humility, you have these things. And so be like-minded, in a sense, have the same attitude, and be humble, just like him. And I want to begin by going to the very beginning, in Genesis. You see, humility was the original relation between God and his creation. In the garden, humility was that original relationship that God had with his creation. God created the heavens and the earth, chapter 1. And you scroll down to verse 27, God created man and he created woman. He created them both. And from the very beginning, they had the right perspective. They had the right perspective. Their relationship with God, was founded on the truth that God was God and that they were dirt. They understood that God created them out of dirt. And he breathed life into them. And they understood this. And so their relationship with God was of humility, saying, "Whoa, God, you're the one that created me. Wow, I am your creation." And so there was humility. They were completely and entirely dependent upon God for everything. And for a long time, they maintained this relationship. They maintained this humble approach before God until one day when pride entered the garden. We all know the story. They got wind that, Adam and Eve got wind that if they disobeyed God's command and they ate from the tree that was in the middle of the garden, that they would be like God. Whoa, cool. You know, how cool would that be to be like God? All right, I'm going to go give it a shot. And so we all know the story. Mankind at that very moment gave in to pride. We sought out an independence from God. To do for ourselves, to do whatever we wanted to do. No longer was it all about God, but at that very moment, it all became about us. And it's been the epidemic of mankind ever since. Pride. This desire to be self-sufficient. This desire to be independent of everybody or anything else. To be self-sufficient. And when there's pride in the heart, there's no room for God. Because our relationship to God, even today, is that he is God and we are his creation. We were the ones that were formed out of dirt. But God, out of his love for us, he sent Jesus into earth to bring humility back to earth. Humility left at that moment. Mankind adopted this pride, this I want to do for myself. God, you give me an awesome brain, a free will, and I can use this brain to do so many things. I can do this. I got this, God. Thank you. And you go off and do it yourself. That's pride. God, out of his love for us, understood that pride had entered the world and humility was ceasing. And so he brings Jesus into the earth. He sends him back into the earth to restore humility. Because humility is the beginning of a right relationship with God. In order to have a right relationship with God, it must begin with humility. And actually, not only does it begin salvation, but it sustains salvation. Having a humility before God not only begins your salvation, not only starts it all off, but it sustains it. Humility is the beginning of salvation because you get to that point where you say, God, I am completely, entirely insufficient apart from you. Without you, I have no hope for eternity. Without you, I have nothing. Without you, I am nothing. I need you. Humility is the beginning of salvation. It is the start of a right relationship with God, and it is the relationship that sustains. It is the attitude that sustains a relationship with God. So Jesus came to restore this humble relationship between God and man so that you and I could be saved and spend eternity with him, which is what he wanted from the very beginning. It was an attitude that placed God at the front and acknowledged that everything he was, Jesus was because of God. He put God at the front and acknowledged that everything Jesus was because of God. Now the opposite again is pride. Right? Pride says, hey, it's all about me. Look at me. And this is when we place ourselves on the throne of our own lives. It says that everything I have, I did for myself. Look what I accomplished. Look what I've done. I am somebody. Look at me. Pride is when we allow the self, you know what I mean by self? All right? When we allow the self to have the ultimate authority in life. The self dictates what we do. The self dictates what we do. It determines our path. It determines how we go about our day-to-day lives. It's what I want to do for myself today. How can I please myself? How can I gain for myself today? That's pride. And then there's this false perception of humility. The false perception of humility says, I'm nobody. Don't look, just look away from me. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. Look completely away from me. See, humility is not this over-exaggerated low opinion of yourself, where you degrade yourself of any worth. Because what we're going to see in just a moment is that we have so much worth because of Jesus. And it maintains that right perspective before God at all times. So humility is actually a confidence in who you are because of Jesus. While at the same time knowing that you're nothing without Him. That is humility. It is a confidence in knowing who you are because of Jesus. While at the same time knowing that you're absolutely nothing without Him. Humility says, God, I'm nothing without you, but with you, I have gained everything. Without you, I'm nothing, but with you, I have gained everything. I've gained eternal blessing. I've gained eternal favor. I've gained eternal companionship. I've gained eternal life. And it never loses sight of that perspective. And what we just read in Philippians 2 is what we see what humility looks like. We get to see what humility, how it is demonstrated. And so here it is. The humility that Jesus restored is this. Is selflessness that is combined with an active awareness of others. The humility that Jesus restored was a selflessness that was combined with an active awareness of others. It's not all about me. It's all about God and how God wants to use me for the benefit of someone else. It's not all about me. None of it is about me. But it is all about God and how God wants to use me for the benefit of someone else. And so humility is not just a character trait. Humility is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle that says, my life is not mine to live. My life is not mine to live but for myself, but my life is to live for my King and my God. Everything that I do is for Him. You see, when I gained Christ, when you gained Christ, you gained everything that you will ever need. Not only did you gain everything that you will ever need, you gained everything that you could ever possibly want. And so therefore, when you know that, my life is not mine to live for myself. When I know that with Christ I've gained everything I will ever need and everything that I will ever want, I no longer have to live for myself, but I can now choose, and I choose to live my life for His purposes only. My life exists to serve God's purposes. Your life exists. You have breath in your lungs. Your life exists to serve God's purposes. And this is what we see in the Word of God from Jesus. Everything He did, He didn't do for His own glory. He didn't do it for His own satisfaction. He didn't do it for His own praise. He did it all for His Father God. Now take a look, and take a listen here for a second. I'm going to read off a multiple passages of Scripture that shows Jesus' relationship with the Father. And I want you to listen for how many times I say Jesus says the word not or nothing. All right? I want you to listen. I'm gonna just spout them off. I was going to have them up there, but I don't. John 5:19. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing of Himself. He can only do what He sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. John 5:30. By myself, Jesus says, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me. John 6:38. Jesus says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. John 7, Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from Him who sent me. John 8, Jesus says, when you lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. Let's keep going. John 8, I have not come on my own, but He has sent me. I glorify myself. If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. John 14, the words that I say, they are not my own. It is the Father living in me doing the work. John 14 again, these words are not, you hear, they're not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So you're getting a pattern here? You're getting a repetition here? Because this was the root of Jesus' life. He made Himself nothing so that God could be everything through Him. This was the root of Jesus' life and His ministry. It tells us, these verses tell us that He abandoned Himself completely to living for Himself. For His wants, for His own will, for His own desires. He abandoned Himself completely to whatever He made Him feel good about Himself. I might go and do this because I know it makes me feel better. He abandoned Himself completely to those things. And these verses clearly highlight that His life was not for Himself, but it was all for the Father in heaven to use Him for His purposes. God, Jesus made Himself nothing so that God could be everything. Are you with me this morning? Jesus made Himself nothing so that God could be everything. He relinquished Himself completely so that God would be able to work through Him. He laid down His will. He laid down His power. He laid down His glory. He laid down His riches. He laid down everything that He had entirely so that the Father could work in Him and through Him. His whole life was of absolute submission and dependence upon the Father's will. And I want you to understand this. Jesus lost nothing by giving everything to the Lord. He lost nothing. You lose nothing when you give everything to the Lord. All right, this is where it's going to get extremely challenging. You ready? That was just Jesus. Now we got to apply Jesus to our lives. Here we go. Here we go. I believe this is going to be challenging because I know it's challenging for me. Because there's a couple verses in there that just would hit you right in the suplex, right? It's easy to think that we humble ourselves before God. All right? When you accepted Jesus in your life, you humbled yourself before God. You do it when we praise God, when we worship Him. We humble ourselves before Him in those moments, don't we? We place Him on the throne of our lives at those moments. But here it is. Humility towards all of mankind is really the only sufficient proof that our humility before God is real. The only way to prove that our humility before God is real is when our humility is demonstrated to other people. That is what this passage in Philippians 2 is getting at. If we're going to take up the same nature of Jesus, if we are going to be His people who reflect His nature and His character, then our humility before God must be evident in our humility towards others. Oh, no. Oh, no. Because our humility before God, if it is real, will demonstrate and manifest itself in our everyday life. If our humility before God, if it is real, will demonstrate itself and manifest itself on a day-to-day basis. Ask yourself those questions. Do I make myself nothing? Do I make myself nothing? Do I take up the very nature of a servant? In my day-to-day life, does selflessness permeate everything I do? This is something that I battle with all the time. And I know that everybody else battles with it, because selfishness, pride, is something that we all battle with. To want to do for ourselves, to want to live for ourselves, to want to do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, however I want to do it. I want my life to be such a living sacrifice that everything I do is to serve others. Having nothing of selfish gain within, but seeking to reflect His character in everything I do. You see, humility is not something that we just turn on when we feel like it. It's not something we just turn on at sometimes. You know, lately I've been all about myself and about what I want. I think I better do something for somebody else. I think it's about time. I spent a lot of time thinking about myself. I'm going to think about somebody else for today. The kind of character renovation that we've been talking about over this entire series, and that we're going to continue to talk about, is a renovation that where God's character permeates everything we do. We're saying, God, come in here, tear down the old, and remodel with the new. When you remodel with something, it stays there. Nobody's going to get a portable kitchen placed in their house. Come and go when you need it, right? It's there. It's bolted to the floor. It's bolted to the walls. All right. So I don't want to just turn on humility at times. I want humility to be a defining part of who I am. I want it to define me, because it defines Jesus. That humility would manifest itself in everything that I do. That it would manifest itself in my approach to my occupation. Where I'm not pushing myself to the front trying to get ahead of somebody else to get a promotion. But knowing that everything I ever need and everything that I ever want, I have because I have Christ. I don't need anything else than what I have right now. God pours out the blessings. We are to be faithful to what we have in front of us. To bloom right where we're planted. To be faithful with what God has given us, and God will do more. It is not for us to push ourselves ahead and to try to get ourselves into a new position or to make ourselves look any better. I want humility to manifest itself in my relationship among other people, where I'm not talking negatively about them behind their back so that I look a little better to somebody else. It is to be a part of us. That which we carry with us at all times, and that we actually carry it out. We carry it with us, we carry it out, and we demonstrate it. And so my point is this. If you remember nothing else this morning, and if you remember one thing this morning, remember this. Humility before God is nothing if not proved in humility before man. Your humility before God is absolutely nothing if it is not proved in humility before man. That's what we see in Philippians chapter 2. That's what we see in the Gospels. In Romans 12, Paul tells us that we are to prefer one another in love. That means that we are to place others before ourselves. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You see, it is impossible to love and serve others the same way that Jesus loved and served others without humility being the root, being at the very core. Because when He showed love, it was completely selfless. When He showed love and He served others, it was completely sacrificial. When He loved, hear me right here, when Jesus loved, He removed Himself completely out of it so that God could get all the glory. When Jesus acted upon His love, He removed Himself completely out of the picture. He emptied Himself completely to nothing so that God could be everything. Am I doing that in my life? Am I doing that in my life? You're supposed to ask the same question about yourself. I'm trying to be humble up here. When Jesus ministered to people and he served people, it wasn't all about Jesus getting the praise. It wasn't all about Jesus getting the glory and the satisfaction. We just read all those passages of Scripture where Jesus said, it's not me, 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 it's not me. It's all my Father. Everything he did was for the Father. It was all for his glory. To love the way that Jesus loved means that we are to give of ourselves for the benefit of somebody else. To give of ourselves for the benefit of somebody else. Jesus died on the cross. He laid down everything. He humbled himself completely, even to death on a cross, so that you and I could benefit. He humbled himself completely, relinquished everything he would ever want, desire for himself, laid it all down so that you and I could benefit. And the benefit is that if anyone calls on the name of the Lord and believes that Jesus died for them, they would have eternal life. He humbled himself to nothing so that you could have everything. He humbled himself to nothing so that you could have everything. And so if we, the church, the body of Christ, are to be the ones to carry out his ministry on this earth, then we are called to humble ourselves to nothing, becoming a servant to others, so that those who do not know him could also gain everything that we've gained. If we, the church, are the ones to carry out the ministry of Jesus, then we have been called to humble ourselves to nothing. Remember the difference between a false humility where it says, I'm nothing, don't look at me, but it's a confidence in who you are, knowing that you have everything because of Jesus and you want to share that with somebody else. So that those who did not know him could also gain everything that we've gained. You lack nothing. You lack nothing. Humility was at the core of love, because love is not self-seeking and it does not puff itself up. There's an author, his name is Andrew Murray. He says it this way. He says, our humility before God has no value, but as it prepares us to reveal the humility of Jesus to our fellow man. Let me say that again. Our humility before God has no value, but as it prepares us to reveal the humility of Jesus to our fellow man. That's essentially what Philippians 2 is talking about. In verse 3, it says, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Come on. Come on. So then the question arises, doesn't it? How can I possibly count others better than myself? Is there anybody else here who is willing to humble themselves with me? It says, at times, look, I could clearly point out hundreds of people who that I'm better than. I'll just take you to the local prison. I'll point them out. Boom, boom, boom. There they are. You know what? I don't need to even go to a prison. Let me introduce you to my neighbor. Is anybody else willing to say at some point in their life they've either perceived themselves to be better than somebody else? Thank you, my man. One, two. Thank you. Thank you. I felt like I was on an island back here on my own. And so what I just did was I trapped you for a second. That's what we call entrapment. Because, I mean, we've all asked that question. I mean, it's all gone through our head in some way, shape, or form. We may not have said those exact words, but amen. Just the way you act around them, you know, says, you know what? I got it together a little bit more. But when we do that, and I'm putting that out there for this exact reason, because it proves how little we understand how true humility works and what it means. You see, true humility comes when in the light of God, we see ourselves to be nothing. When compared to God, which is the only one we're to be comparing anything to, when compared to God, we are still dirt. He is the creator. We are his creation. And in response to that, we give our lives over to Him, allowing Him to be our everything. In the light of God, this is true humility, in the light of God, God is God, we are dirt, but with Christ, I have everything. And it never loses that perspective that without Christ, I am nothing, but with Christ, I have gained everything. And so the soul that has been able to do this is able to say, Lord, since I found you, I've gained everything by giving over everything to you. I've gained everything by giving over everything to you. And therefore, I no longer have to compare myself to anybody else because we're all just dirt without Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're all just dirt without Jesus Christ. It's about forever giving up every thought of the self. Because no longer do I have to focus on me because Jesus has now taken the place of me. Galatians 2:20 says, it is not I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. And so Jesus has now taken the role of self in me. It is not I that lives, it is Christ who lives in me. So now I don't compare myself to anybody else. I'm free to think about others. The Word of God teaches us that we are to die to ourselves. And what that means is that we are to give up living for ourselves. Living for our wants, living for our desires, living to please ourselves, living to entertain ourselves constantly. Not living a life that is all about, hey, what can I gain out of this? So that God will be able to work within us, through us, for the benefit of somebody else. It's such a beautiful thing. It is such a beautiful thing. Now that I've gained everything through Christ, I gained everything I will ever need. I gained everything that I will ever want. There is nothing that His presence in my life cannot satisfy. So therefore, I no longer need to live for myself and my own personal gain. But now I'm free to think about other people. Now I'm free to serve others. Now I'm able to prefer others rather than myself. How can I help you gain? How can I serve you? And when you do this, people are introduced to the humility of Jesus, which He came to restore, because it is the point, the starting point of salvation. When people see you humiliating yourself. Yeah, that's part of it. I heard it put this way not too long ago, now that I said that. If we're going to be a bridge that connects people to Christ, then we have to be willing to be walked all over. That hits. That hits. This is the heartbeat of Jesus. He was humiliated. He was walked all over. But this was the core of what He believed, and it's going to be the core of this church. It will always forever be the core of what we believe in this church. That our lives are not our lives to live for ourselves, but because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross for us, we're now secure in everything. We have no lack. We have no wants. We have nothing else to desire. Because everything that we ever need, want, and ever will desire is found in Jesus Christ. And so now we're able to selflessly put others ahead of ourselves, loving others, serving others, ministering appropriately to others, being a bridge that connects people to Himself. We cannot be the people He's called us to be if it remains all about me. Ooh, that rhymed. We cannot be the people God has called us to be if it remains all about me. Oh, we should put that up somewhere. Oh, wait, no, that's not humble. Hold on. Okay. no, I'm just kidding. Because that's pride, isn't it? And when pride is in the heart, there is no room for God. Because God works in a humble heart. I'm going to ask, can I ask you? Linda, can I ask you, you're playing the piano today, can I ask you to just come up, just Linda today, and we're going to close this morning. She's just going to play music, and I'm just going to close here, and then just play anything, just your beautifulness on the That'd be great. In John 13, Jesus does something that's pretty wild, to say the least, especially for his day and age. And in John 13, if you remember, it is moments before the Last Supper. They're preparing for the last, what we call the Last Supper. And he gets down on his knees and he gets a bowl of water and he stoops down and he begins to wash. He begins to wash his disciples' feet. And if you remember, the disciples, Peter's like, "What are you doing, man? You are not supposed to be washing my feet. I'm supposed to be washing your feet here." And if you remember, Jesus replies to Peter and he says, "Hey, Peter, unless I do this, you can have no part of me. Unless I do this, you can have no part of me." And then he goes on to say in verse 15 to all the disciples, after he's washed their feet, he says, "I've set an example for you that you should do as I have done for you." You see, Jesus was trying to instill within his disciples this heart of this attitude of a servant, a humility and a willingness to put others ahead of yourself. If anybody had the right to put himself above anybody else, it was Jesus. But what did he do? He put everybody else ahead of him. You know what he did? He put you ahead of himself. When he died on the cross, he thought about you. He put you. He preferred you rather than himself. Nothing he did was for his own personal gain. It was all to give glory to the Father. To do the will of the Father so that you and I could benefit. And so as the church, the ones who carry out Jesus' ministry, the ones who are his hands and his feet, this is what the message is for us today. That through Christ you have gained everything. And so therefore, do nothing out of selfish gain, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. This was the character of Jesus. This character of Jesus, as we take up this character, others were going to see this, and it's going to be distinctly different. It's going to be distinctly different. Jesus was so confident in who he was and who God sent him to be, and that he had nothing more to gain, that he had it all. And so therefore, when you have it all, you can give yourself away. You can humble yourselves and put others before yourself. I don't even have to ask if you're challenged, because if you're listening, you're challenged. This is what we've been called to do. This is the heartbeat of Jesus. Through Christ, you have gained everything. Humility before God is nothing if not proved in humility before man. Your humility before God is nothing if not proved in humility before man. Can we stand together? So don't forget, you are nothing. But Christ in you is everything. And your nothingness makes room for God to be everything. Please take that away. Please take that away. You alone are nothing. But Christ in you is everything you will ever want, ever need, ever desire. You lack nothing. And so your nothingness before God makes room for God to be everything in and through you for others. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. I'm just going to pray for you. Pray for all of us, actually. Lord, we need you. Simply put, we are nothing without you. And we are so grateful for what you've done in our lives. We are so grateful for where you've taken us from. You've redeemed us. You've reconciled us. You've justified us. God, we have all that we will ever need because of you. Because of the humility of your Son, Jesus Christ, we have gained everything. So, Lord, let us take up your character. In this very moment, God, we are people who are saying, Lord, we want to be more like you. Because you're so awesome. There is none like you. And your heart's desire is to shape us into the image of your Son, to reflect your Son, Jesus. And so, God, we're saying right now, we're asking you to help us be humble, not only before you in our quiet times, and not only before you in our worship to you, but Lord God, may we be humble before you as we're humble before our fellow man. That we will not think of anybody else. Not that we would think about others, but that we would not think of ourselves as better than anybody else, Lord God. But that we would see everybody else on the same playing field, that we are just your creation. We were all just dirt at one point. So I thank you that through Christ we've gained everything. And now that we have we lack nothing, we have no wants left over, we have no desires. We have everything we will ever want in Jesus. And so, Lord God, help us in our day-to-day lives to see others as worthy of our service, worthy of your love, worthy of emptying ourselves to nothing so that you could get all the glory through us and so that they could gain everything that we have gained through Jesus. I pray that over this entire body. These are your people. God, I thank you for these people who are earnestly desiring to be more for you, to grow in you, to send their roots a little deeper in you, to draw themselves closer to you. God, I thank you that this church is filled with people who are passionate for you. And God, I pray and I thank you and I trust because your word says that when we draw near to you in moments like this, you are in the moment right now drawing near to each and every heart and mind. We love you. We praise you. And everything we do it for you. And all of God's redeemed people said, amen, amen, and amen.